Amen. Been very good to me.
Amen.
I've been here for a long time.
Amen.
He's kept me here. I see those walk away, and I say, how in the world could you ever do it? This means everything to me.
Yes,
absolutely.
Everything.
Yes, it does. It means everything.
Amen. I wouldn't want backup. I mean, just
no
for
way.
my loved ones.
Yeah. Yeah,
my loved ones. I got too many riding. I got too many depending on me.
That's right.
That's like walking away from your family or something.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you in the world could you do it? They depend on me. They've only got me. I'm their way back.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Kevin, go ahead.
Come on.
Amen. So it's done.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to get the starches off me. I'm glad to be back in the house of the Lord. You know what? This bride here, we you know, God has smiled on this bride.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, singing that song, it means a lot to me because, you know, we have the full word of God here. You know what I mean? And that's a blessing. It really is. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
You know, when you come up here, you never know what you're going to say. But, you know, I just thank God just to make it here one more time. I do. I love the body here. And I love that we have a oneness here. I mean, you can't find it nowhere. And I just thank God. We're blessed. We're a blessed group. You know, we always say we're a ragtag team, but we ain't raggedy here. We're not. We're not raggedy.
Pretty much
we're not. And, you know, I get offended by that. I'm not raggedy, okay? God's one if he made us. We're not raggedy. So we should make it. We should feel a little bit more enthusiastic about coming there. I mean, we're a bride. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. So I just want to say that.
Amen.
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 I was going to sing a song.
Amen.
Sometimes you have to encourage yourself, and sometimes you have to speak victory during the test. And no matter how you feel, speak the word and you will be healed. Speak over yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you have to speak the word over yourself. The pressure's all around, but God is present help. The enemy created walls, but remember giants, they do fall. Speak over yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
As I minister to you, I minister to myself. Life can hurt you so, there's nothing left. And no matter how you feel, speak the word and you will be healed. Speak over yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord.
I was excited to be here, first of all. I always want to say that because it's always a blessing when you get to get in here.
Amen.
But I was just thinking, I was reading the Church Age books, and I know a lot of people have read like a million times, but some of these passages were my first time reading, and I was really excited just seeing how God worked in these people's lives.
Right.
Like these messengers, like they gave their life to God, and he blessed them. And I was just reading through the stories, and there were so many times they like healed people or brought people back from the dead, and there was the story about Polycarp and how God was with him so much that he freely was getting ready to give his life, and God wouldn't even let them take it. Right. They tried to burn him at the stake, and the fire wouldn't touch him, and then they tried to stab him, and the water came out of him and put the fire out, and then God just took his spirit like as a dove, and I was like, we've been reading Proverbs and trying to read through the Psalms, and it's just, you see over and over again how God touched in these Old Testament lives, and it just encouraged me so much, because they say, like, you don't know the promises if you don't read them.
Right.
And I was like, and there's all these times that God just touches a life. I was like, my problems are like small potatoes, but I was like, I know that God can touch it. And I was so excited, because I was like, you get blessed just seeing these things, and I'm just so thankful that we have even more word than they had. I was like, and if God can touch that, Lord knows he can touch us. And I was just excited because me and my kids, every day we pray for just to get up, the body change, and the end of the world. And Daisy was talking the other day. She came home from school. She's like, this world's terrible. She's like, but I'm not worried about it, because any day now we're going to get to go to heaven. And I was like, yes, Lord, because I was just thankful, and I love this place.
Amen.
You know, you get a, they used to say that when you get in a problem, just tie a knot and hang on. This is what, you know, I'm doing this for me because I am going to overcome by the word. So I'm going to go ahead and get this. Thank you. It said, this is what the scripture told me. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You know, you believe it. Which have great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise.
Amen.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That has stuck with me ever since you said. Because there's some things I'm believing God for, and I'm not backing.
Yes.
I'm not backing.
Right there.
So what you do, you get you a scripture. I believe this is the word of God, not the word of man.
Right.
And he said, every word that I say will come to pass.
Right.
It is, you know, saints, I ain't playing. There might have been a time I was playing. I'm running for my life.
Amen,
now.
Amen.
So I've got the scripture. Get one, hang on, like Sister Christie said. Get you a scripture and hang on.
Amen.
Because I believe him. He said he would do it. He told me he would do it. And I don't know how, I don't know when, but he will. It's got to come to pass.
Amen. Yes, it does.
Well, I just want to thank God for being here. And another thing, Donald, you said something that stuck with me all week. And it was that his plea for his son. You know, and I thought, that's a man's plea for his son.
Right.
How much greater is God's plea for us as his children?
Yep.
You know, when your son, and Donald just kept saying, he knows better. He knows better.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how many times God would say to us, you know better. And it breaks his heart, you know, because I'm looking at him and his heart broke. And I thought, how many times have I broken God's heart and know better?
Right.
You know, and I'm just so thankful for the forgiveness and the mercy that God has bestowed on us. And it's just, it's immeasurable. And I'm just so thankful for being here.
Amen.
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 Yes, yes, yes.
Chris, this is come up here with me. I feel led to do this, Bonnie.
All right.
Okay.
Amen.
No, God's so good. I did say a while back that time's getting short, and if I ever going to do anything for God, I'm going to do it. And so I look for ways to do things, and so I just feel led to do this. We're going to sing Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ready?
Yes.
All right. I don't know what key it's in, but we're just going to sing
it. All right.
We'll make it up.
Okay. Ready?
Sing it together.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I will praise him.
Another day being here, and I'm so blessed.
Amen.
As the song was playing, Pastor Moore, God has taken care of me and my family.
Amen.
He's been so good to me. I think about all the good times, the peaks and the valleys that I've been through, and it was nothing but the Lord. And
Amen.
So I want to say I thank him for the love, the mercy,
yes.
and the grace. Amen. And again, I love each and every one
Amen.
Of you. Thank you so much.
Amen. 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 Y'all can sit down if you want. We'll be here for a little while. It's good to be back in the house Amen. Of the Lord.
Yes.
I find myself anymore. I don't sing as much as I used to, but I have a lot of songs I love to sing, but I just don't do it as much as I used to, but that's all right. This song here I have been listening to, and it just sort of says that it's all by itself. That I feel deep inside. What is this that keeps my soul fire? Whatever it is, it won't let me hold my peace. What is this that make people say I'm mad and strange? What is this that makes me want to run on in Jesus' name? Whatever it is, it won't let me hold my peace. Oh, it makes me love my enemies. It makes me love my enemies. And it makes me love my friends. And it makes me love my friends. And it won't let me be ashamed. And it won't let me be ashamed to tell the world that I've been born again. What is this that makes me do right when I would do wrong? What is this? When I am down low, it gives me a song. Whatever it is, it won't let me hold my peace. Oh, yes,
It makes me love my enemies. It makes me love my enemies. And it makes me love my friends. It makes me love my friends. And it won't let me be ashamed. It won't let me be ashamed to tell the world, oh, that I've been born again. What is this that I feel down deep inside? What is this that keeps my soul on fire? Whatever it is, oh, it won't let me hold my peace. Oh, what is this that I feel deep down inside? What is this that keeps my soul on fire? Whatever it is, it won't let me hold my peace.
Hey, Brother Duskins. Hey, Brother Duskins. Wow. Brother Duskins, can I say something real quick? Sure. I love that song, Brother Warren, because it's funny because I actually called a friend of mine today and I told her that story of Hold My Mule. Because that guy cannot hold his peace.
Right.
You know, no matter what they told him, when he just thought about what God had done for him. Right. He just said, hold my mule. And I just think here, you know, I've seen cancer healed before. Amen. Liver problems healed. A kid that was in the NICU didn't think they could come out. Right. It's 11 years later, all of these things. And I was telling Brother Schuyler, we were walking the other day, no matter what you said about the people in this church or this building, I was blind. But now I see. That's all I know to tell you. I have a revelation, so I can't help you with any problem you may have. Right. Because I cannot see until this place. And I just thank God, because if I just sat there long enough, whether it's work or friends or house, if you just give me enough time, I have to hold my mule. Because I thank God for every single thing he's done for me.
He's been so good. He's been good.
Amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Let's sing page 208.
Just such a balance. You know, listen to Dwayne talking. This church, we just have such a balance in everything. You know, absolutely. I mean, I don't care what it is you bring before me. I've got such a perfect rest.
I have a balance.
And a balance on everything. You can talk about anything, and I've got it. You know, I was going to class the other day and had a long drive ahead of me, and I text out. You know, scripture just came to mind. You've been thinking on it. You know, Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got to make it personal.
Right.
You know, I come in the volume of the book. Right. To do thy will, not my own will.
No.
It's not mine, but thine will be done.
Right.
It's all about him. It's all about God's purpose and God's plan and what God wants. And I can't do anything else. You know, I turn quickly to the work that's just in me. It's effortless. Right. I don't even, it's just with every heartbeat. The word comes across my path, and I simply believe every single word of it. And I love this. I love this body. We've got a better, even watching Sister Clarice here reading the scripture, you know, thought came to my mind. I thought there's churches out here, message believers. Wouldn't even let you get up and wouldn't let a sister get read a scripture. I thought, what is wrong with this? What have they done to this beautiful word that God has given us in this hour?
Amen.
You know, read to a humble little man, Brother Branham, and he brought just such a peace, just such a rest, such a love. Amen. And they'll just chain you up, Brother Moore, and put you in prison, and God come to just set us free. And
Amen.
I'm so grateful for this rest. You know, Dwayne, you're right. I once was blind. I see now. It's too late for me now. I don't care. Say what you want to say. It's too late now. I'm too far gone.
Yeah,
I remember talking to Brother Baker one time years ago, and he said, you know, if you think I'm crazy, just don't even pray. Don't waste your time. I'm too far gone.
Right.
I'm not even worth even praying for at this point in time. I've done lost my mind. I believe it. I'm sealed and soon to be delivered.
That's right.
I love it. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Page 208. More I surrender.
Yes.
More.
Lighter my load.
That I release my cares, take control. I know the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up every day. Lord, I love you more. Let's sing that again, amen. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. Chorus I wanted to sing. I was thinking about, you know, we talk about Jesus' blood paid it all and did it all, and it's just been the blood the whole time, and how the whole world is just tired of waiting, but I'm not tired of waiting. And the chorus goes like this. Pastor Moore, you sang it before, and it's just been ringing in my head ever since. It says, and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. You got it now, it's simple. And it reaches. And it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that Jesus shed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight. Lord, we come move the hearer and the speaker out of the way and let your word just do what it needs to do. We have prayer requests. Brother Deskins prayed for his son. He's praying for his daughter. Lord, we're believing. I don't want to wait till the other side to see those blessings. I want to see them now. Lord, bless the Brinkman family. I know they're still healing, but Lord, we want to see a total healing. Lord, bless Sister Clarice. She's got some prayer requests. Bless Sister Chrissy. Bless everybody under the sound of this voice, Lord. We're bride and believers. We come expecting. You said by your stripes we're already healed. Lord, continue to bless me as well. And let me get out of the way, Lord, and just touch this message that we're going to bring tonight. Let it be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Appreciated the songs. Thank you for singing, Sister Courtney. I heard the rest of you guys' songs too, but it's something about that one. Just had a special ring. That's the one I'll remember the words to. No, I appreciate all of you guys. It's good to be here. Good to see my brothers made it back through the sickness. God bless you guys, Brother Eric and Brother Mike. No, they were battling sicknesses, and they had to overcome that COVID. So God bless them. Glad they made it. Good to see them in the house. You know, those guys are getting after it, so I appreciate them. You know, as we're getting ready for tonight, I'm looking at a bunch of stuff, and I got a couple scriptures I'm going to be reading tonight that, you know, normally I don't read a lot, and
But a couple of these have just been sticking on my mind, and you know, listening to you guys give testimonies about different scriptures has just really impacted me, because it's powerful. You know, Pastor Moore, when he was talking about that book of the Bible, and you know, we just kind of take it for granted that we have the ability to carry the Bible. And that's just Satan's trick. I mean, he just diminishes the Bible in so many ways. There's 900 different versions of it. He just dilutes it. So that's his trick. He'll dilute it, change all the different mannerisms, and make it just a regular book, you know, to the point where you don't even respect carrying a Bible. You know, you just throw it around in the car, leave it in the trunk, don't even, you know, cover it up. But it's, you know, that book was written by 40 men over 1,600 years. That's pretty inspiring. That's the Word of God, that you have the access to the Word of God that's not wrong. Yeah. It's unfailing. It's the unfailing Word of God. You know, this is God's mysteries revealed, and when the seals have been opened up, you now have the ability to read the whole Bible. You know, you can put all the scrolls together. You can understand it. So just to be able to have this Bible and be able to, it just made me take it even that much more serious. You know, and obviously, you know, on one side of it, it is a book. You know, so I don't think that laying the Bible on somebody is going to do anything. The spoken word's here now. You know, there's God in flesh here now. You know, so I have a balance on that too, but I do respect the ability to have a Bible, and I appreciate what Luther did, and I just don't want to take those things for granted. You know, I deal with my kids sometimes, and, you know, they're spoiled, but I did that. And but sometimes they take things for granted, and it upsets me. I'm like, you don't even know what it took to get it. You know, I can understand you being spoiled, but I want to see some gratitude. You know, I can understand you wanting to eat dinner, but I want you to be able to thank the chef. You know, thank that, bless the hands that cooked it, prepared it, went to the grocery store to get it. You know, every now and again, I want to hear thank you. You know, and so I think sometimes we come to God so often just asking. Every now and again, just come and say thanks. Won't you come and just say thank you for what you've already done? You know, that's talking about that revival. You let me sit still long enough, I'll just start to thank God for what he's already done. Amen. Now, there might be times where I'll get in the mully grugs, but just let me sit there for a second long, get the word on there a little bit and say, but hasn't God been good to you? And you know what? I have to say, yes, he has. If I made my bed in hell, he's still there. If I did this, he still made a way. And sometimes I just want to remind you, say, just thank you for what you've already done. I don't need you to add anything else to my revelation. I don't need another understanding. I don't need another book open. I don't need one more book of the Bible open to me. He's opened them all. He's been good to me. I don't need to find one other message book where I find a hidden quote that opens things up that I never saw before. He has blessed me abundantly already. I'm living in the overflow. I live in excess with God. I have a need for nothing. I have need for nothing. I have the revelation of the hour. What more do you want? Oh, my. So when you come to the house of God, just thank him. You know, and come on now. Don't act like old Brother Jay didn't need help. I done had where I need, just in the last couple of days, needed just a prayer. Yeah. I needed a blessing. But just let that go off a little bit and let Satan know that I'm still thanking God in advance. Don't forget that I'm still thanking him in advance. I thank God for my healing before I even see it. That's right. When I claim my healing. I'm not even begging for it. I claim it. I claim it. I say I won't even be satisfied until I awaken your likeness. Oh, my. He got Lazarus up from the dead, but Lazarus still had to die again. So that wasn't enough. You can get me out of the hospital, but that ain't enough. I won't be satisfied till I drop these two other rims and I step into perfection. But I praise God for a revelation that my soul is perfect now. Amen. See, that's a revelation. Amen. That's the part that takes a revelation. And that's what we're going to preach on tonight, that part of having that revelation. Because Pastor Moore preached on Christ as revealed in his own word, and I loved it. You know, the title of my message tonight is One of Them. You know, we sing that song, there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. Right. I praise God that I can say I'm one of them. Right. You know, because when I started looking at this, I started looking at the scriptures, started looking at different things. I thought, you know what? All throughout the Bible, there's been a separation between people that can see God and people that can't see God. And then, you know, there's a scripture that Brother Jeremiah read Sunday night, and we're going to read that again tonight. But there's a chasm even now. There was a chasm in hell between the believers and the unbelievers. Amen. There's a chasm now that no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter how I break it down, I could heal the sick before your eyes and you would still walk away. Yes, I could bring somebody back from the dead and you would still walk away. That's right.
Jesus himself could come walk on water right in front of you, and an unbeliever would still walk away. The Jews did it. They saw Jesus do all those miracles, and they still walked away.
So let's read a scripture. Now, bear with me, because periodically I'm going to try to use this more. This was a gift from my family, and I'm going to try to use it as much as I can, but I'm just as old school as it gets. I write down everything, and I have it here, and I do, and I highlight here, but I'm trying to get better at it, because when you travel, it's better to have this, because it makes it a little easier to get to things and study, but I'm learning, so you give me, let me help. Give me some help. Praise God. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things." He didn't even reveal them. He hid them on purpose. He didn't want you to see it if you didn't have a revelation. "These things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed it unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." This is what God wanted to do. Amen. "All things that are delivered unto me, my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Amen. I like even the word souls. You find rest in your soul. Everybody wants rest everywhere else. My soul is at rest. Right, right. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yes. That scripture has a lot in there, and we'll go in there a little bit, but it's not even revealed to you. You can't get this on your own, is what I'm saying. Right. If God doesn't reveal the Son, you can't find the Father. If you can't find the Father, you can't find the Son. It's hidden. I don't care how much you read. I don't care how much you study. I don't care how much you listen. If God doesn't reveal it, you can't find it. He hid it on purpose. And we can say, "Oh, well, Brother Jay, what are you getting at?" That's red letter. He says, "Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you hid it from the wise and the prudent and revealed it unto us that would learn." See, that there's this thing in... there's this movie, it's called Fallen. It's an old movie. And when you could pick up where that spirit was going, you could see it everywhere. It had a certain little ring to it. You could pick it up no matter where it was at. You could pick it up. It had traits about it. God has traits about him. When you do finally see God, I can see him everywhere. I can see him in nature. I can see him in the scriptures. I can see him in the word. I can recognize him in people. I can recognize when you're talking. I can recognize God in all things when you finally do see him. But when you don't see him, you can't pick him up in nature. You can't pick him up in the word. You can't pick him up in the scripture. You can't pick him up no matter how hard you try. But there is a group of people that can pick up God, and I praise God that I'm one of them. I don't be mad at me. I didn't do this. God did this. Right. Don't be upset at me that I boast in this thing. I'm humble in this. I'm just praising God that he revealed it to me. And I thank God that I'm not alone when I say I'm one of them. Right. I'm just one of them. I praise God that there's a group of believers with me in this hour that can encourage me along the way. Oh, my. There's times that these saints and these prophets had to do this by themselves. I ain't got to do this by myself. This is a many-membered body. Anybody starts talking about how deep it is and how you got to get it by yourself, I don't want to hear them. You don't even know what day it is. You don't know what day it is. God, and then they start talking about what God's calling them to do. You're not a prophet. God didn't ask you to do nothing special. In this hour, he told you just to believe the word. Amen. That's what you're asked to do. Amen. Be part of a body. Yeah. Just say amen to the word. Amen. Church world wants to put all these rules and doctors on there. He didn't ask you to do that. Matter of fact, the church world wants you to do what Brother Branham was called to do. You can't be Brother Branham. He asked Brother Branham to do it. Let Brother Branham do his job. You do your job. Won't you focus on your job description? Stop looking at my table and my widgets and what I'm supposed to do and do what God called you to do. You about to get fired, bub. You're not paying attention. That's how it goes sometimes. You guys know how it is at work. Everybody over there looking at what you're supposed to be doing, not paying attention to what their job is doing. Now, when you're working on the factory, that'll get you fired quick because the line's coming down.
coming down. You're going to slow the line up. Don't worry about what I'm supposed to be doing. I may not supposed to be doing nothing right now. I might be caught up. I might be 11th hour worker where they're saying, you're finished, Jay. Just wait it out. That might be my job right now. But you got to put your widgets together and do what your job is. If God called you to sing, don't be mad that I'm not singing. You better start singing. If God put a song on your heart, don't be mad He didn't put one on my heart. You do your job. If God gave you a testimony, don't worry that it's not my turn to preach. You get up and give your testimony. Don't worry about what I'm supposed to do. Do what God called you to do. And guess what? It'll tightly fit together. All come together. It'll come together so smooth. I remember that brother gave that testimony. He said, I was sitting there and God told me to stand up and spin around. Guess what he did? He didn't do it. Didn't do his job. Didn't do his job. So much so that when the church did get turned on, somebody stood up, turned around, set the church on fire. He couldn't even enjoy it. He was like, God, oh, you told me to do that. And I didn't do it. Couldn't even enjoy worshiping. That's why I want you to sing when God tells you to sing. You'll get the church to get blessed by it. You sit there and hold on to your song for 4 weeks. Don't worry about it. I don't want to hear it anyway. Keep it. It's old. That's yesterday's manna. You got a testimony from last year? Don't worry about it. It ain't applicable anymore. Keep it. Oh, that's how this thing works. God moves by inspiration. God wants a moving body. This is not sitting water. This thing is moving. Oh, you got to be able to keep up with God. Ooh, I love it like that. Let me go over here and read John chapter 8, verse 43. I'm going to try this here. Pastor Moore, you know my struggle. He said, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Last verse, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. I'm only bringing the truth. I'm not trying to bring you anything that's going to kill you. I'm not trying to bring you anything down. I'm not even trying to exalt myself. I'm only bringing you the truth. But because you are of your father, the devil, when I speak the truth, you don't want any part in it. I'd be nervous if you heard a man preaching like me and you didn't agree with it. I'd be nervous if I heard somebody with the boldness and the confidence and the scriptures and the quotes to back up what I'm saying. If you're sitting there thinking, I don't know, I'd be nervous for you. Because I do know. You're the one in question. You're the one that has no clue. You're the one that doesn't know where God is. I'm speaking from a position of strength where I know where God is. I can tell you what he said to me. Oh, I love even Brother Dwayne's scripture, because even that scripture, he said, I was blind. Matter of fact, that story, they went to the parents first and said, whoa, what did he, tell me this, tell me that. They said, he's of age. Jesus talked to him. Go ask him yourself. What did Jesus say to him? That's how it is now. Oh, when I was a kid, yeah, maybe go ask my parents what my experience might have been. When I was a boy, maybe go all talk to them and see when the change happened. But I'm a man now. I'm of age. I can speak for myself. I can tell you when God started talking to me. I can tell you what God said to me. I can tell you how God revealed this to me. There was a time when I couldn't read the scriptures, and now I can. There was a time where I didn't see myself, and now I do. There was a time where I wasn't a part of the body, and now I am. There was a time when I worried about my loved ones, and now I don't. I can speak for myself. And if that time ain't for you, don't worry. Sit still. Listen to a man of God long enough, and you'll get there too. But you got to believe the word of what he's preaching. You got to believe. You got to take every word too. See, this is not no cook. This ain't no choosing. You can't choose what you want on this plate. If I put green beans on there, you better say thank you. And can I have some more? You better. If I bring something that tells you to step up and get in line, that's still part of it. If I bring it in the message, that's still part of it. If God decides to preach it across the pulpit and make it worth his time, we only get 2 hours together. If he makes it that important to talk about it, you better eat it all. Amen. Oh, you don't get to go, well, I'm a good worker. I don't care. You need to be a better worker. You start getting high might anyway. You got an exalted spirit on you anyway. Oh, I do all good. No, you don't. None of us are good. Ain't none good but God. I can cut you down to size. We can level you out real quick. And you got a lying spirit on you too. I can level you right out. Because even Jesus said, if you thought about it, if you just thought about it, oh, I don't do this, I don't do that, but just thought about it. How can I even tie you up there? Because you just told me you don't do it. That means you thought about it. You had to think about not doing it. That means you thought about it. I'll trip you right up real quick. See, God is a discerner. He levels things out. You think you up here, puts you down here. And then that person that's low saying, I can't do it. He said, yes, you can. One more step. One more step. You ain't too bad to make it out of heaven. You ain't too bad to miss it. Come on, you can do it. One more step. You made it to the house of God. Praise God. Keep walking. Just keep stepping. One more step. We can make it. One more mile. You can do it. It starts encouraging you. See, God will level this thing out. So the fact that we both get in here and we just sit under this word and say, praise God for bringing all the high places low and the low places high. He gets us all leveled out in here so that way we got nice, calm and ground. God makes this thing smooth. Oh, my. See, because I was looking through the Bible and I saw all these different people that just recognized God right off. Yeah, they turned quickly because the Bible says the bride will turn quickly. And I just looked at a couple of these different examples where people, you know, because a lot of times we think we got to, you know, my daughter's learning more and more about Brother Branham. And, you know, I'm going to do my best to show her and I'm looking forward to the Bible studies, but as much as I want to tell her about Brother Branham, I can't make her fall in love with Brother Branham. I can't tell her enough stories. I can't tell her enough healing ministries. I can't show her enough life magazines. It's got to be something that happens for her. I can share it with her. But when I go through the Bible, I don't see where they had to do a lot of explaining. When I go through the Bible and see the believers, they didn't have to do a lot of explaining. They didn't have to convince them on who Jesus was. They literally just walked in. That Rahab, she perceived those spies through there. She knew they were from God. It didn't take her long. She said, I know y'all. I know the God that you serve is real. I know the God that you serve is real. You ain't got to worry about explaining to me what you're going to do. Just take care of me and my house. That's what Rahab said. They didn't sit there all night. Listen, let me open the Bible, Rahab. I want to make sure you understand our God is real. I want to tell you what our plan is. No, they didn't have to do no explaining. She just said, take care of me and my house. David didn't need a lot of explaining on knowing who God was. He saw who God was and God was real. Amen. You know that woman at the well? That's one of the best stories we can get. Amen. Jesus was talking to her for just a minute or two. She said, whoa, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So much so that they said that when this prophet comes, he's going to be able to tell us all things. Just like you. Jesus said, you're right. You're right. So much so that she dropped what she thought was important. Amen. Left her water, the only reason she was out there, and said, sirs, come see a man. Amen. Now, did Jesus literally tell her all things while they're sitting there? No, but she knew he had the ability to. She knew he was the man of the hour. She ran and said, sirs, come see a man that has told me all things. Now, the woman at the well, did she see one healing? Did Jesus walk on that well of water? He heal anybody from the blind right there? Just speaking to her. Just the word only. He said, I'll give you some water. You'll never thirst again. Just gave her the word. Now, the Jews, it's the second group, they saw Jesus do all those things. They witnessed Jesus and do every miracle possible. They followed him around the whole time. They saw every miracle he did. When Jesus turned the water into wine, they were there. When Jesus healed the thousands, they were there. When Jesus fed the thousands, they saw it. When Jesus walked on water, they heard about it. When Jesus calmed the storm, they watched it. When Jesus did the fishes, they saw all of this. The Jews saw all of it. And yet, still couldn't believe. And you know why I love using Jesus as an example? Because nobody's better than that. Amen. Nobody else was virgin born. That's right.
So you can't live up to that. I love that. Because no matter what they saw, it didn't change their unbelief. Didn't change their mind at all. And no matter what we see, it doesn't change my ability to believe. See, these are inverses. I can see a man of God not heal the sick. It doesn't change my, I'll still believe him. I can see a man of God have a problem. It still won't change my belief. I can see a man of God not heal the blind. Still won't change my belief. I can see a man of God speed on the highway. It still won't change my belief. I can see a man of God lose his job. It still won't change my belief. No matter what I see, I know what the Word says, and that's all I recognize. That's what I believe. I'm not believing the man anyway. I'm believing the Word of God. That's what I'm standing on, and wherever God is where I'll be. When God was with Branham, I was with Branham. When God was with Childers, I was with Childers. When God is with Moore, I'm with Moore. Wherever God is, that's where I'll be. That's how a believer is. See, there's some people that get stuck up on the man. There are some people that worship Brother Childers. They just follow flesh. And when Brother Childers turned it over, or Brother Childers had an issue, or Brother Childers whatever, not here to defend himself, so I'm not going to throw any of those things out there. But if he had anything, they'd fall off. They'd fall apart. Following a man. Oh, Brother Childers did a bad car deal. Can't follow him. He cut two cars in half, put them together, and sold them as one, painted them. He knew that was a junky car. He knew it. I use that story because he told you all that story. You were there. You ought to know. You're the one that did it. Jeez, elder. You're elder. You're elder. Testifying. We're following you, brother. But I still only see God. I still only see God. I still only see God. I have no fault with this brother. I still only see God. That's it. Because I know what I'm looking for. I know what I'm looking for. And if you're looking for the right thing, you won't be thrown off regardless. It won't throw you off regardless. It doesn't matter what I see. I don't care. And you know what the church world, they want to paint this dirty picture. Oh, you don't care. You just get to do whatever you want. Shut up, you lying devil. I don't get to do whatever I want. You think we always want to show up on Wednesday early? You think I want to leave work, my family, and kids to go drive to some other church? You think we want to do that all the time? You're a liar. You're a liar. These brothers, they drive hours. You think they like driving hours? No. I love to be where the Word is, but that's a sacrifice. This takes a sacrifice. Oh, when we talk about it, I'm doing this for my loved ones, I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for my loved ones, and I'm doing it for me. I'm doing this. I need God. I override myself to get here. I override myself to push through. I die daily. Oh, these lying devils. Oh, you get to do whatever you want. Really? I get to do whatever I want. I got to raise my kids in accordance to the Word of God. I got to respect my wife in accordance with God. I got to be the man of house in accordance with God. I got to follow, got to come subject to the leadership under accordance to the man of God. I got to come subject to a man. I own my house. I got a job. I got a bone bank account. I tell my wife what to do. And guess what? She can be like, you know, God said, and I'll be slowing down a little bit. Like, what did he say? What did he say? I was running at first. I was like, what did he say? Right? I come subject. And if I get out of line, guess what? She's got a button she can press. Amen. Boop. God said. And if you need a reminder, he's around the corner. Let's stop by. Let him say it in your good ear. God said. And as a believer, I come subject to that. Yes. Oh, does God say things that I always want to hear? No. He calls this old boy to get in order. Amen. This is for the perfecting and the edifying of the saints. Yes. This is the house of correction. Yes.
They go, oh, you can do whatever you want. I go to the house of correction to get corrected. That doesn't sound like I'm doing what I want. That sounds like he rebukes and chastises those that he loves. See, your problem is you don't want to be corrected. That's why you walk away. That's why you stay and hide, because you got itchy ears. You want to hear things that you want to hear. You want to sit there and just let God soothe you. God ain't a soother. This thing stings a little bit. There's a sense of obligation to this thing. Oh, even on the simplest of level, the kids even got to come subject. You don't get to just sit here and color all the time. Better get back there, back in the back in Sunday school, and I want to know that you're learning something. Pay attention. Let me see what he wrote. Bring the notes out that Dwayne told you. Bring the things out that my mom walks you through. Learn a couple of songs a little bit. You're going to have to get with it. Start slacking off too much. I'm like, oh, well, you're not even serving God in your youth. You don't even have a chance. You're being bad in your youth. You need a couple whippings. Whippings? What? You're whipping the kids? That's what the Bible says to do. The Bible says to don't spare the rod. That's correction. I'm showing you that even at a youth, I'm showing you how to get corrected and how to deal with it. And still you can't even get an attitude. You get your whooping and sit down and it'll bring forth peaceable fruit. And that's all the way till we get out of here. That's what it says. It says the ministry is here for the perfecting and edifying of the saints until we get out of here. So I'm getting whippings all the way home. I expect it. I come here expecting it. I come here expecting it. I go, oh, man, does that make me not want to do my best? No. I'm not trying to be lax here. I do my best. But I got two rims that are terrible that need corrected. My soul doesn't come here to get corrected. My soul is rejoicing on all of it. It's just hearing the word. It's like, amen, amen, amen. We need it, we need it, we need it. And my soul's like, ah, ooh, ooh. My spirit's like, oh. But I want to remember. Nope, forget it. But I want to hold a grudge. You can't. God don't hold grudges. Oh, but I want to do this. I want to hold this over the head. Nope, 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 nope. Drop it. Don't bring it up again. If God put in a seal for forgetfulness, don't you dare pull it out. I'm just telling you what happens here. But those people that walk away, they go, oh, you get to do whatever you want. You get to do whatever you want. There's something that calls to me. There's something that holds me. There holds me here. They talk about that bond woman and the free woman. Yeah, the whore has way more children than the married woman. You get to go do whatever you want. You go run around. You go do this. I'm tied to the body. I got a husband that loves me. I got a sense of obligation about me. Oh, my. See, I thank God for that. You know, see, Pastor Moore, you was talking about the scripture, and I'm going to read it because I thought, my goodness, I had never thought about it the way that you brought it when they were talking about Jesus being born. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 2. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of reading, not a lot, but this is important to know where this is at. This is Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. And it just hit me because you was like, you're talking about all these people had the scrolls and they had the prophecy that Jesus was going to be born, but they weren't even looking for him. They weren't even looking for him. When the wise men came by, they were like, oh, when is he? Oh, yeah, he is supposed to be born around now, isn't he? Yeah, the scrolls say that, but I wasn't really paying attention to him anyway. Basically, what's going on? So let's read over here in chapter 2. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen the star in the east and are come here to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. And all of Jerusalem with him. See, because they were carnal. They heard king of the Jews. They was like, well, I'm the king. Herod's like, I'm the king. What do you mean king of the Jews? I'm the king. And so he was getting a little bit upset. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, see, look what happens. And the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. How are they going to find that out? There was prophecy for this. Amen. They had the scrolls there. He gathered the priests together and was like, where's Jesus being even born at? Where is this supposed to happen? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Huh. It was already prophesied. For thus it was written by the prophet that they didn't care about.
And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the prince of Judea. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privy called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now he's paying attention. Yeah. Well, when did it show up? When did the star come in? Now this Herod, he's paying attention now. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Lying devil, murderer. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to kill Jesus. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, just back up for a second. Herod knew where Jesus was going to be born. Saw the wise man searching for him. The king. Did he send anybody with him? No. Did he send an escort with him? Hey, take my people with you. Let them go with you so that way when you get to Jesus, we can talk and see him and praise him. Here's some gifts for him. Still didn't believe it, really. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced and exceeded in great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Now, I'm going to just read one other scripture here, verse 16, because Herod got ticked off. He was mad because they never came back. So Herod was like, they must have found him. They must have found him. He's real. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise man, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and killed all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise man. Just like in Moses' day. Killed the kids because they were trying to snuff out God. But Satan's always too late. He's always too late. God prophesies it. Satan doesn't listen. Shows up late to the party every single time. The church world is late every single time. You know, the church world gets on every age when it's already over. They denominate after it's over. When God moves, that's when they get on it. You know, the Catholic Church, that's what they do to people that they kill. They'll kill somebody, go back and go, that person was really a saint. Let's dig up their bones and give them a ceremony. Late, late. Late, late, late. That's the church world. Always late. They're never on time with God. They're never wanting a present tense God. They always want God when he's not there anymore. They want God for kissing babies and funerals. They don't want God for the rest of their life. They just want God to show up sporadically. But I want God all the time. Amen. I tell everybody that'll listen, my best revelation I ever got is that I realize that I need God just as much on my best day as I need him on my worst day. I need God all the time. There's not a second that I don't need God. There's not a second that I think, oh, I could do this myself. Amen. He's holding on to me. Amen. He's holding me. Oh, there was a time where I didn't know, but I know now that he's carried me this whole way. Yes. Oh, my, 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 my. See, the church world knew of the prophecy and wasn't even looking for him. It's just like now. It's prophesied that there's going to be an end time. The scrolls say that there's going to be an end time. The Bible says that there's going to be an end time. Are they looking for it? No. Do you know when they'll start looking for the end time? During the tribulation. When the tribulation starts, they'll go, there must have been a prophet that talked about this. Where's Branham? They'll want to dig up Branham. See, we recognize God right now. Amen. We do recognize him. I'm going to read a quote here in Christ is Revealed. Because you got to recognize God right now. You can't wait to recognize God. It does you no good. That means you don't believe. Because when you recognize God right now, that's what requires faith. You know, when it started raining, you didn't need to believe Noah anymore. You didn't need to believe Noah anymore. It was raining. When the waters fell from the firmaments, you didn't need to guess if Noah was right. You didn't have to have faith if Noah knew what he was talking about. It was already raining. But guess what? The door was closed then. God closed the door before it started raining. That's what I love about that story. God closed the door days before it started raining. God closed the door long before the rain started falling. God sealed this up long before the rain started falling. Now that this world is getting chaotic, the door's already closed. We're in here rejoicing, saying praise God that we believe. See, over here in Christ's revealed, in paragraph 28 says, now the same thing is this. If you are a son of God and I am a son of God or a daughter of God, we were in God at the beginning. And when Jesus became the fullness of the word, then we were in him, germ form. When he was crucified, we was crucified in his body. When he arose from the dead, we rose with him. And now, since we have recognized it, now we sat together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, for if we are sons and daughters of God, we are God's children, then we are attributes of God's. Then we're got eternal life. And God is the only eternal life there is. Then we were in him from the beginning, and when Jesus became all that word, then we were part of him. Amen. There you are. That's in there. There is no devil, no power, no nothing can ever move it. That's a tie post of the soul. Nothing can take this away. Nothing can move me from where I'm at now. Because I've been a part of God since the beginning. I just recognize it. I woke up to it. I recognize the fact. I didn't become a part of God. I've always been a part of God. The church world will have you thinking that you can join God. You can't. No. You can't. We use these types and we use these examples, and sometimes people don't know when to get on and get off. But literally, the family of God is truly just the family of God. You cannot join a family. You can't. You can't join a family like that. Now, you can marry into a part, but you're not the DNA of that family. You can't make yourself a pickings no matter what you try. That's right. Brother Don, I know you like my house, but I'm sorry. You can't be a pickings. No. I don't care what you do. That's go right. Buy another shirt, some other pants, new glasses. It won't make you a pickings. That's right. I don't care how long you sit in the tanning booth, brother. It won't change a thing. It won't change a thing. It can't change a thing. Your DNA is your DNA. You got to be born into it. You got to be born into it. And then you wake up to the fact that you were born into it. I wake up to the fact of what I am. I grow into the knowledge of the truth. That's what happens even as a child. You don't even realize how great the family is you're a part of. You grow into the knowledge of that. Oh, my kids are growing into the knowledge of that. They're saying we do have it pretty good. That's what we're realizing. When we come to service after service after service, we're like, we do have it pretty good. God has been blessing us and blessing us and blessing us. He gives us everything. Oh, my, my, my. See, this gets me stirred up, because when you realize that there is nothing that can separate you. See, there's this story, and I'm going to read this quote. Brother Jeremiah brought this on Sunday night, and that was not being taped, and this needs to go on record. I've been chomping at the bit at this scripture, and this is now going to be one of my favorites, because this sums up everything. I never saw this one like this. You guys who were not here Sunday night, you're in luck. I wish I could be you to hear this for the first time. This is chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, just a little bit of reading, but it's got a lot in there, and we're going to dive right into it. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Oh, Luke. You know where I'm at. You already have it pulled up. Luke 16, 19 through 31. Sorry. I'll let y'all turn over there. There we go. Nah. Yeah, don't forget this one. Yeah, Luke 16, 19 through 31. It says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off now, they're both in hell. He sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Okay, I'm still ordering people around. That he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Lazarus didn't have a good life. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. I can't go to you. He can't go. He couldn't help you if he wanted to here. Neither can they pass to us that would come from you. Nobody on your side can come over here. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. Listen, he's there in so much pain. He's saying, okay, if you can't come to me, go to my brothers, because I don't want them to come here. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They got the word on their hands right now. Let them hear the prophets that are already there. You don't need to send anybody. They can hear the prophets. The prophets are there. They have an opportunity. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. No. I don't know if the prophets can do it. But if one went up unto them from the dead, they will repent. Yeah, he's saying, if you just sent somebody from the dead, if you went, Abraham, they know you're dead. If you go, if you or Lazarus goes, it'll take care of it. It'll save them. Send a ghost. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. Even if God sent somebody from the dead, it wouldn't persuade them at all. See, there was a time where the message believers believed Brother Branham, if he just came back, it'd be this great revival that would bring all these people together. Brother Branham can't come back. It wouldn't help any more people. Everybody that he's supposed to get is taken care of now. His work is finished. They have to believe the prophets now. They got to believe the message now. The word is still here. If you don't believe the word now, even if Brother Branham came back, it wouldn't help you one bit. Oh, my, there's so much in that. Because all the time we think, oh, if I could just share with them the story about this happening, if I could just tell them about how that happened, if I could just show them this, if they were just at a service and the pillar of fire came over Brother Jay and they could see it, they would believe it. Wouldn't change a bit. There could be a pillar of fire on me the whole service and it wouldn't save one more person. The believer would still believe and say, didn't our hearts burn within us? That was a great service. Looking forward to what God can do the next service. Wouldn't be stuck on that. See, there's people that are denominate on that. If the pillar of fire showed up over me and I had this exorbitant spirit about me, I'd take a picture of it. I'd want my family to hold on to it. I'd Jada save it in her phone. Jonathan put it on his tablet and say, remember when I preached and that pillar of fire was over me? That proves that God's with me. Could just be the lighting. I'm not going to major on a minor. What did you say when the pillar of fire was over you? What was the word that was coming out of your mouth? What did you preach when the pillar of fire was there? Because it better line up with what the revelation I already had, or it's Satan himself. Even if a spirit, if I came back myself and spoke any of the gospel, let me be a curse. That's what the word said. He said, if an angel from heaven came down and spoke any other gospel, let him be a curse. That means you got to keep up with God right now or be a curse. Oh, see, there's so many things that we can look at this and go, man, I wish we could do this. And that guy's heart, his desire so to speak, was kind of right. He was like, I don't want my brothers to have to go through this. That was an initial, that's a good thought. But I'm sorry. God don't move by your thoughts and emotions. His word is his word. Where the tree falls, so shall it lie. If you don't believe the prophet when he came, don't worry about it. Don't worry. I can't help you. I can only give you what the word says. That's it. And I praise God that there's a simple childlike faith on the inside of me that just when the word crosses my path, it's just like my heart beating. I just simply say, yes and amen. That is nothing but the truth. Amen. I don't even try to say it. No. I don't even have to work it up. It's automatic. When Brother Lockett yells out, you must be born again, I don't disagree with it. I say that ain't nothing but the truth. Right. You got to be born again or else you won't pick this up. Amen. When Pastor Moore preaches, I don't have to fight myself and say, oh, I got to do this. No, that's just the truth. It's just simply the truth. When Brother Jeremiah preaches, I don't got to fight myself and hope I can get this and hopefully eke out an amen. I just simply say that ain't nothing but the truth. It comes out like my heartbeat. I believe God just like I'm breathing. This don't take work. If this takes work, you didn't get the first scripture that I read. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. This is good for your soul. Oh, this pleases my soul to dwell here. I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy when I get, oh, sure, we got to push over this, push over that. But when you get in here, oh, it's just sweet. Oh, the problems of this world grow strangely dim. Oh, whatever I thought I had to push over grows strangely dim. Oh, I lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. Oh, on the way in, you might be like, oh, I'm running late to this, running late to that. Oh, I got to do this, got to do that. Then you get through the deacons and you start dropping a couple bags. Start dropping a couple bags. You sit down, Pastor Moore's over on the piano, start dropping a couple bags. Like, well, I am going to be here for 2 hours. I might as well put my phone away. Start dropping a couple bags. Oh, you know what? I was thinking about a song. Start dropping a couple bags. Well, I don't know if they want to hear me, but God said make a joyful noise. Start dropping a few bags. By the time the word is preached, your spirit is so ready to say, Lord, I'm just ready to hear whatever you got to say. I'm ready. I'm ready for the word now. Why? Because you just lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. Right. Oh, the last thing you got to drop is yourself. Amen. Oh, on the way in, you might be thinking about the kids, work, house, this, that, jobs, bills, blah, blah, blah. Then eventually you got to get over yourself. Right. And you go, well, what are they going to think? I don't care what you think. Oh, what if I raise my arms? What are they going to think? I don't care what you think. What if I want to spin around a little bit? What are they going to think? I don't care what you think. What if I get up here and spit and snort? What are they going to think? I don't care what you think. What if I can't read the words in there? I don't care what you think. If I open a scripture and I can't read it, I'll point somebody else and read it for me. I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried about literacy. You got Brother Branham who couldn't read, and you're going to have me worry about literacy with a degree? Get out of my face. I'm not worried about that. I see, because we put too much on it. We put too much on it. Oh, I got to have it this way. I got to have it just right. It's got to be in this key. Got to be in that key. Pastor Moore, you were so right. You preached the message. You talked about how sometimes people that are singers, they won't sing because we don't got it in their certain key. Oh, I'd sing with the voices, but they all sing in A and I sing in G. So either I'm going to do it a cappella or I'm not going to sing with them. Then all you do is start drawing back. Drawing back. Now you don't sing with the voices. You just watch us. Everybody in church standing up, but you out here because you're like, eh, I would sing with them, but I can sing and they can't. So I'll wait to do my acapella special. All you're doing is separating yourself. You're just making excuses. Go on and get in there and get in that pig pen and roll around a little bit. You might find out you ain't as good a singer as you thought you was, and that you're going to have a good time just fellowshipping with the rest of us. You might like it a little bit. You might be like, oh, I like not worrying about it. I love just praising God how I can praise Him. I love just enjoying myself. That's what makes it the voices of the bride. God is happy to hear His bride sing, however she sings it. Oh, my, we put too much on this thing. You weigh yourself down with some made-up stuff. There was a brother that used to go here, Brother Eric Marr. He used to always say, you made that up. That was his statement. You made that up. I'll never forget that. That's how this church world is. They done made that up. They made up punishments. They made up rituals. They made up laws. They made up rules. They made up all this stuff. And God only just wants a willing vessel. He can take it from there. If he needs you to learn how to sing, he can figure it out. If he needs you to learn how to play the piano, he can figure it out. If he needs you to learn how to play the trumpet, he can figure it out. If he needs you to learn how to preach, he can figure it out. If he's the one that called you, won't you let him do his job? Let him do it. If he called me, then let him do it. He's big enough. He framed the worlds.
Amen.
If he can do all that, he can figure this out. See, he's big enough to handle this. So I thank God that I'm one of them. I praise God for y'all. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Moore.
It's really not that hard to be a believer.
Just believe.
People make it hard because they try to make believers out of people who can't believe. If you just, that's the hard part. The hard part is convincing them that they're not believers. If they only knew that they weren't believers, I always say, just go. If you don't believe it, just go. And so many people fight over this, fight over that, fuss over this, fuss over that. Now I'm getting ready to go to the Philippines, and I see them fussing already. Fussing and fighting in their little cliques and ponds and... I'm going to preach.
Yeah.
I'm not going for any clique, any group. And I hope people that don't believe what I preach come. Because they don't know what you got until you hear it. And, you know, to be one of them is the greatest thing that you can have going for you. You may not be the best singer, may not be the best preacher, may not be the best testifier. You might walk out of here kicking yourself, saying, I should have said this. You know how you do. I should have said this. Oh, I got up and testified. And I don't know. I didn't say half of what I really wanted to. Everything I practiced at home, I didn't say none of it. Thank God. Because when you get up, what you got to realize, when you get up here, you get out of the way. And Brother Branham said, the real gift is a gift to get out of the way. So if you got all this memorized and, oh, when I get up there, I'm going to say this and that and the other. And then you go back to your seat and you just say none of that. You should thank God.
Yeah,
because I mean, God come in and he did what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
If you get up and say every word that you thought of before you got up here, something's wrong with you.
Amen.
You know, there's no way that God will tell you everything he wants to say through you in advance.
No, that's not how it works.
That's why I said take no thought.
Right.
You know, I'll put, you just yield the vessel. Just be one of them. Just be somebody that God can use. And then he'll figure out what he wants to use you for. It may not, and more than likely, it's not even what you think it is. You think you're going to testify on your shoes and you talk about your hairdo. You think you're going to do one thing and God's got you doing something else. It just shows you that it's not man, it's God. We have the hardest time trying to let God have it.
Amen.
We're going to control him because we're so used to controlling him. We'll put I get tickled when I drive by churches and they tell you Sunday in advance. They'll go out there on Monday and write what the title of the Sunday's message is coming up. And I'm like, how do they know what God's going to say? And because they're not going to let God have it. They're going to get up there and they're going to give you exactly what they've studied. And that ain't God. That's man's knowledge. And do it. You know, what did it say? Fake it till you make it. Do it until he gets there. You know, read your notes. And I do. I'll go through my notes and I'll get prepared and I'll have everything lined up. And I may even get through reading the scripture. But that's probably about my last word. And next thing I know, he's doing whatever he wants to do. And then... So I don't walk out of here thinking, oh, I should have said this. I should have said that. No, God had his way. Because that's what we want, is want God to have his way.
Amen.
And that's why we're different than everybody else. Because the bride knows, she's learned how to get out of the way. And once you get out of the way, he does what he wants with her services. That's why they're different. That's why we don't hand out programs at the door when you come in. You know, I can do that at a funeral. I can tell you exactly who's going to sing, what the order is going to be. I can do that at a funeral because because I'm in control. But when it comes to the house of God, y'all are the worst people. You start before service. You don't even let the song leader get up. You'll testify before the first song. Then you'll sing something that wasn't even practiced. And it just. And then the preacher gets up with his notes, and he don't even look at them. And Jay fumbling around with his book like, oh, I'm trying to learn how to use this thing. But then after a while, he forgot about it, and he was preaching up a storm. Y'all are awful. You just let God have the service. That's a shame. When you're totally out of control. The real gift, as Brother Branham said, is the gift to get out of the way. And that's what we need to practice. Practice getting out of the way. And if you don't say everything you thought you were going to say when you go home, say, thank you, Lord. If you don't even, half the time you say, well, I don't even remember what I said. Because you didn't say it. But that's what we're not used to. We're used to holding on and controlling it and controlling our testimony, controlling everything. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Amen. Let him do what he wants with you, because we're not like the others. We're his chosen elected vessels that he's worked really hard to get in and use. Amen. Do you realize what he's been through to be able to use you like he does here? He's done all that he's done to be able to do what he's doing now. Amen. Nobody has ever had God moving them to the extent that the bride has right now. The last time the Son of Man was here, Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. And now he's here again. He said you were going to long for one of the days of the Son of Man. Brother Branham said there's only 2 days. One 2,000 years ago and one now. So now that he's here, he's worked hard to get your vessel where he can use it like he wants to use it. So you're not like the others. You're one of them. One of the elected. One of the ones that's chosen. One of the ones who can have learned to get out of the way and let God have his way with you. There is nothing better that you can do. Nothing better. Practice all you want. There's nothing better than you could do than to let God have it. So God bless you. Now, announcements. I think we forgot them tonight. The bowling party is canceled for the 17th. We're going to have to reschedule that. Brother Jeremiah is going down in Little Bethlehem tomorrow, and he's going to be ministering. So he had the night off tonight. And I'm leaving town on Friday, and I won't be back for a week. And baby shower is Saturday at noon. Okay, Ted. Time changed this weekend. Okay, that's Brother Bob's job. That Brother Bob would always call us the Saturday night before the times change. And remind everybody in the church. I never understood how that man could do that. Blind. But he always remembered. He remembered birthdays. I asked Sister Spears one time. I said, Sister Spears, you tell Brother Bob when the birthdays are. And she looked at me and said, oh, no, honey. She said, that man knows. Yeah, he does. That's on him. He will call you on your birthday. They can't see. Got us in over 100 churches in Dayton. And can't see. Your brother Bob would tell us time change. And he wouldn't tell us a church. He'd call us Saturday. Each person Saturday he would call and tell us about the time change. God bless his gallant soul. We miss our old warriors. I appreciate them so much. But time changed this weekend. Thank you, Brother Ted, for reminding us of that. Keep in mind, Easter services are coming up in 2 weeks, 3 weeks? 3 weeks. On April 1st, Saturday evening, we'll have services starting at 7. And then Sunday morning, April 2nd, we'll have services starting at 10 a.m. We will have dinner immediately following on the grounds, and then we will not have Sunday night service. Brother Tony Orgiobisa, I got it, Jay, Orgiobisa, will be with us, and he'll have both services. So pray for him. He'll be coming through town, and so he'll be ministering for both services. And then after the Easter services on Sunday the 2nd, on Monday the 3rd, Brother Doug and I fly out for the Philippines, where we'll be. So this is back-to-back things going on. So keep things in your mind and pray. I this is going to be a different trip for me, because usually I can hide behind three or four preachers when I go, and I, you know, but I'm the only preacher going. They asked me if Doug preaches, they were going to send him out. I said, no, Doug stays with me. He's my deacon. He's going to be with me. So they were asking about you, Doug. They're like, I mean, both locations are saying, does Doug preach? That? And they didn't ask me at the same time. They one asked me one time and one asked me another. So Doug does preach. And I was like, no, Doug's my deacon. He's going there. He's going to be by my side. And so I'm not going to let them send you out. I think they sent Jim out one time, didn't they, Jim? You and Brother Childers went out and preached. So they'll take anybody. But that's fine, because, see, they realize that you have something to give. You know, Our Lady could say some things that would bless them out there in the world. And we've been blessed here. And they would snatch you up in a minute, Doug. I'm fighting hard. I'm fighting hard for you. So just keep these things in mind as we move on into the year. There's a lot going on. And amen. One of them. I think we're going to sing that as we close. I think that's page 3 in The Only Believe. No, that's not it. Where's it at? 151, thank you. 151. Either you Colby men want to say anything back there, we're glad to have you back. Yeah, get a man a microphone.
I like this one.
I know, that's your favorite.
You know, anytime anybody asks, I got to say something. I sit there and I think, oh, if he just asked me, I'm going to get up and say this, you know. But something happened to me a couple nights ago that has never really happened to me. I've had some spiritual dreams and things like that, not many through the years, but the other night I just couldn't hardly sleep, and a lot of times I'll just put on Brother Branham, and, you know, I just start listening, and I just start feeling easy, and then sometimes it'll wake me up, and then I won't get no sleep. But for some reason, I started to put on Brother Branham, and something told me, don't do that tonight. Put in the Bible. You know, let the Bible be read to you. And I put in that Bible, you know, Bible on tape, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. They started reading that to me. And I just started laying. I fell into one of the deepest sleeps. But I'm hearing it right here next to my pillow. And the next thing you know, I'm deep dreaming that I'm in this big auditorium, and this preacher's preaching. Boy, he's preaching his heart out. And then something happens. I wake up, and I'm listening to the Bible, and those are the scriptures he's preaching to me, you know. And then next thing you know, I fall back into another deep sleep. And next thing you know, I got through Genesis, and sometimes it'll bounce over to maybe Luke or Matthew or something like that. And I woke up again, and them scriptures that's being read to me, I'm dreaming about in my dreams. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, there's some scripture being read, and this is about 5 o'clock in the morning now, and it was talking about judgment and tribulation, and I was dreaming of all these people, not the people that are dead in Christ, but just that were dead, and they were dressed for this judgment, and they were on this big old trailway, this train, and all their dead bodies are just going toward judgment. But us that were alive and remain, we were watching that. And it was just amazing how that your dreams go along with the scriptures.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But I'd never had that happen before. And I'm pulling out an old one right here.
It looks old.
I'm going to sing you one, and then I'm going, but this hit me the other day, and I pulled this out of my Bible, and this kind of goes along with what you're preaching about. It's called The Handwriting's on the Wall, and it's on the wall today.
Oh, yeah.
And we're fortunate that we can see it.
Yeah.
Even the world somewhat is getting a glimpse of it because I see it in their posts, you know. But if they may say it a way that we understand it, but even the way they're saying it, they don't understand it, you know. But I don't need no music for this or whatever, but it's just an old one. It really just tells a story. It's not really a long song. Well, a king made a feast for a banquet. He invited all his men to come and stay. But he didn't know before the night was over, oh, the kingdom that he held would pass away. Oh, as the crowd began to roar in their drunken slumber, a worried look soon took his smile away. It was then he said, "Behold, I see a finger, and it's writing something on the wall today." Mm-hmm. Oh, the handwriting's on the wall. Can't you see it? Oh, the message tells a story again today. Don't be weighed in the balance on that morning. Don't turn down the truth for your day.
Amen.
Oh, I sent you a warning now, ascending judgment. Oh, on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. Oh, and there's no way you can erase it. The handwriting's on the wall again today.
Mm-hmm.
Now the world is getting closer to destruction. As you walk the streets, you hear the word doomsday. And we all know that something's soon to happen. But wicked men refuse to stop and pray. Oh, soon their laughter, oh, will one day turn to mourning. And their cry for help will be heard far away. Oh, and like the king, when he finally saw the message, it was then he realized he'd waited too late.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the handwriting's on the wall. Can't you see it? Oh, the message tells a story again today. Oh, don't be weighed in the balance on that morning. Oh, don't turn down the truth for your day.
Amen.
Oh, I sent you a warning now, ascending judgment. Oh, on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. Oh, and there's no way you can erase it. The handwriting's on the wall again today. Oh, and there's no way you can erase it. The handwriting's on the wall again today.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you can read the handwriting on the wall?
Amen.
I don't care how literate you are, you can still read what God shows you.
That's right.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I just want to thank God and give my opportunity again. Praise the Lord. It's just this place, I'm not going nowhere. I love this place too much and got a job to do.
That's right.
Getting the debt up and got people depending on me. And
amen.
I'm depending on me too, so I ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
I just thank God for this word. This word, it's amazing.
It is.
I'm trying to get the words out.
All right. We know what you mean.
Yes, sir. This word, it means everything to me. It makes my every day, and I couldn't do it without it.
Amen.
I just thank God for this place.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all.
One of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are... I'm so glad I'm one of them. I'm so glad I have an ear to hear that when the word comes forth, I can read the handwriting on the wall. You know, when Brother Branham preached the church ages, the Holy Spirit went and wrote it right across the wall, put that, drew that right on the wall, confirmed it. My, I'm glad I could pick this up. Because it's not smartness, education, it's just the grace of God. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, with cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, all glory to His name. And I'm so glad that I can say I want to. I am one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will stop the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul aflame, for it is burning now within my heart, all glory to your name. And I'm so glad that I can say I want a thing.
Here's Smith.